You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to The Talking Cop. It's me, Gav. Sean, he is here, I promise. He's just headed off screen for a second. And for anybody wondering, has he turned into like some sort of mirage? No, he hasn't. He will be back any second now. Tonight, we're going to talk a bit about Manchester United 4, Liverpool 3 in the FA Cup. Liverpool exit the FA Cup at the quarterfinal stage. Fair play to Ashley, to Kev and to Matt yesterday with the post-match reaction show. It was really, really good. And you can get that on our YouTube channel. You can download it if you like. But tonight me and Sean are going to have a little chat around it. 30/40 minutes maybe, and out the gap on this bank holiday Monday in Ireland. Seanie, how are you? I'm going to throw it straight to you. Liverpool lost yesterday and they've nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, can't hardly disagree with that. A weird one. Like, I thought I'd be way more annoyed about it than I am, to be honest with you.
I was livid after the game, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, of course. Which is naturally, I live it after you lose any game, especially against them fucking knackers. But, a shite bag, should I say. Look, we had them on a rack for fucking 80 minutes and we never put the game to bed. We start poor, we grow into the game. A much the better side, I'd say, from 20 to 80 easily, but just don't put any impetus on the game. I know Klopp kind of alluded it at full time, saying that it's kind of the first time that he's seen the team struggle, which suggests that there's probably a little bit of fatigue or tiredness there, because I think a few lads there have gone to the well one too many times now and probably need a little rest. So it was welcome news to see that there was a couple of lads pulled out of international duty today on their end.
Who's gone, by the way? Just some out of interest.
I've seen Darwin is not going to play by Uruguay. Mo's not going. Mo hasn't travelled to play for Egypt, and I don't think Sabaz Loy is going either on international. It's frustrating, but like, I think the players, much like, well, I speak for me, I'm by myself. I kind of, even when I got back to 2-2, I was thinking, we'll do what we do here and we'll just win game, because we've been doing that this year, and then we go 3-2 up, and yeah, it's just two shockingly poor goals to give away to go out of the cup. I said it before. Look, people who watch the show will know. I said it a couple of weeks ago, Gav. You said to me, "Are we going to win them all?" And I said, "I don't give a bollocks. Just win the league." And that's still very much me attitude towards it. Look, it's not going to change. And I said that a couple of weeks ago. So this is not some sort of revisionism.
The only one revision in here would be me. because I was all over the four of them.
Yeah, no, and look, I get. Oh, look, you should aim to win every trophy, and it's not fucking not to make excuses. Not look, I'm not even being salty. Like, that's a very, very poor Manchester United team. They shouldn't be taking anything off us. The fact that we failed to beat them at Anfield and failed to beat them yesterday is annoying. But the thing for me is that there's an opportunity to put this right in a couple of weeks, and I hope we do. I think we've given United some hidings, home and away, under Klopp, a couple away actually. I think sometimes we've just been way too guilty of showing United too much respect, and I don't think that was the case yesterday. I think there was probably a lack of respect for our own game in terms of kind of just pussyfooting around at 2-1 up, which is furious. We're just kind of glaze over it. It's a poxy one to lose, Gav, but if I had to lay out the timetable from now to the end of May, it's probably the one game you're going to give up in the pursuit of everything else. We know now exactly, it's all mapped out now exactly what we have to do if we're going to win the Europa League and what we're going to do if we're going to win the Premier League. There's a little break now. Just hopefully we have a clean bill of health with the lads coming back, and then we can attack. Because this is the run-in now. This is effectively the run-in starts now. I know it's kind of been, it's been running since Christmas, like when you're in the thick of it, that you need to win every game. But this is winning time now. This is the time when, for want of a better phrase, champions are made. So, No mad initial rejig or over an analysis of me on individual performances, this, that, and the other. I'm not going to start scapegoating players coming off the bench, or that doesn't always have to be a far goal. I think it was a collective effort yesterday that cost Liverpool the game. I don't think Liverpool employed themselves correctly in the manner they should, because I think the way the game played out, Liverpool probably thought, these are fucking brutal. When we score twice in a minute, they probably thought, we'll just come out the second half now and just polish these off. They look to hit us on the break. Because let's be honest, United are no different now than they were under Solskjaer. They're predominantly a counter-attacking team. That's why they've gotten a few big results like that against the likes of City, Arsenal. They've beaten Spurs by being a counter-attacking team. Like, the amount of smaller sides that have went to Old Trafford this year and absolutely battered them when they just allowed them to have the ball. Because they seem to struggle against sides like that. It's annoying, but to be honest with you, I woke up this morning and it didn't really bother me. The only thing that was bothering me was the knee-jerk and overreaction in the media and sections of the fan base.
Yeah. Singh with the Super Chats says, hope you're both well. Best two content creators out there for Liverpool. I wouldn't go off Shawnee, maybe, not me. It's always bad losing to United, especially considering our poor year. Let's be honest, we're after this title. Can we win this? Yeah, of course we can. Bob Paddock says, 30 to 85 minutes was solid performance, despite missing plenty of players and Sobo Salah and coming back to rhythm. We were not bad. We bottled it with cheap goals. I'll get onto that now in a minute. Owen Comey says, our players freeze every year at Old Trafford and Goodison. That's simply not true. Four wins combined in them grounds since Klopp took over. Look, we don't freeze at these grounds. What happens is they raise themselves to us. But yesterday, I think there's a slight difference in that, Owen, when it comes to yesterday, and I'll get onto it in a second. But we've won at Old Trafford 4-2. We've won at Old Trafford 5-0. We've had a couple of draws there. I think we've had a couple of narrow defeats. League-wise, that's that FA Cup. And I think it might be the first time he's faced United in the Cup.
No, but he beat us there in the FA Cup in the lockdown as well, I think.
Did he? I can't remember. Bruno
scored twice.
Right, fair play to him. But...
Yeah, see, there you go. Nobody gives a
bollocks. Yeah, but they don't freeze there every year. Like, we literally went there, 2 years ago, 1-5-0, and the year before that, 1-4-2, I think, during lockdown, wasn't it? When we had centre halves with combined age of about 25. AJ says, almost unforgivable loss. It's not an overreaction, Shani. We drop a performance in those grounds. We simply don't. We don't drop a performance.
No, but I don't, I get it, we're on a good run, and since the club days, Liverpool have, season in, season out, been a really, really good football team, which you expect to win a majority of the games, but there's expecting, and then there's this sort of fucking, it's a sense of entitlement, I think, within the fan base that you fucking win every game. You're not going to do it. It's not a derby boy location, but it's the two biggest sides in English football.
It's the biggest game of the season.
Like, yeah, you've always got to apply context to these games, because it's kind of like Man City's poor record at Anfield. It's like, it's not that they don't raise the game. It's just, it's typically harder to go there because the game means more. And yesterday was basically, that were like Ten Hag's job. Their season is hanging on the line there. And let's be honest with me, if for 25 to 80 minutes, they were chasing shadows. You couldn't get near the ball. Sometimes you just need to apply context. We took our foot off the gas. It wasn't a case of Liverpool not showing up. We didn't take it seriously enough. There was a level of performance throughout the game that for me was more than acceptable, because we looked largely in control. And they get a scrappy one in 87. And that can do it. It raised the roof for the place. And that's just it. Like, there's no fucking... I'd take the sense of a time to say, look, I'll say what I said again. We have an opportunity to put this right in 3 or 4 weeks' time there. And put that to fucking bed. And we can do the same.
I cannot in any world see Liverpool losing at Old Trafford in 3 weeks.
They can't.
I'm telling you now, yeah. I can't. Now, before we go on, I've done a show on... It might have been Friday. It was probably Friday. And I said, there's no excuses not to win this game. And I stand by that. Right?
Yeah.
I stand by that. There's a couple of things. People were banging on about the starting lineup. And I was like, hold on. Like, my starting lineup would have been Bradley, Van Dijk.
Yes.
Bradley, Kwanzaa, Van Dijk, Robertson. But he puts Gomez in. Now, Gomez has been brilliant, right? So there's no arguments. It would have been Endo, Sabas, Lloyd McAllister, which he does, and it would have been Salah, Nunez, Diaz, which he does, right? So there's no argument about the fucking lineup. Let's not go into that, right? My thing always, when you're better than this United side, and especially going to Old Trafford, is you go there and you apply yourself properly. You apply yourself, and what you do is you play your game, not theirs. And if you play your game is better than theirs. And my only worry when I go to them, because they're brutal, right? But they had 25 shots against Liverpool at the weekend. They had an XG, which people love, of 3 plus, right? Liverpool had XG of 2 plus. It was a very open game, right? Even the dog agrees with me. And the thing is, like, Liverpool allowed United to turn it into a frenzy and an emotional game. And that's what Liverpool done. Regardless of 35 to 80 or not to 40 or 85 to fucking 120, they allowed them to turn it into a frenzy and an emotional game. Emotional in the sense that they let the crowd into it, right? And they let United get shots at them and get runs at them and sloppy and passing and stuff like that. And that allows the thing to build up. And where Liverpool should have come out and went, listen, we're going to get it for 15 minutes here, right? Because they're probably thinking we have to throw a lot of this, because if we go a goal behind, we're in trouble. Liverpool kind of get through the first 20, they're 1-0 down, and you're kind of going, right, okay, no problem. You're 1-0 down, now it's how you react. They react brilliantly, right? They're really good. They get two goals, and I'm thinking, we'll run away with this now. And what happens is, they actually do control the game quite well, up until, you know, probably 80-ish, right? And in that time, they have a 3-on-2 and a 5-on-2.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Where, listen, honest to God, right? In a 5-on-2, you just tell two fellas to just run near defenders, and two fellas just stay away from the defenders, and you score. And they were overplaying it. They were putting fellas through who were trying to find another guy. And if, do you know what it felt like? It felt like Liverpool thought it was too easy. And what happened then was the amount of games, the players that needed minutes coming back, and we're going to have to come off, and we had to make changes. And all of a sudden, like that, you know, you get a scrappy one. We still go up in extra time. And again, we don't manage it, because despite us being, I think, way better than them, We allowed this game to continue on and on and on in a frenzied fashion, where it was all like, you know, loads of pace with loads of, I don't mind the game with loads of pace in it. Watch Liverpool against City, loads of pace in it. It's brilliant, the quality. But the quality wasn't there yesterday. All it was fight for this, fight for that, fight for that. I'll get a corner, place goes mad, boom, boom, boom. A bit like when you play Everton. They get a corner and I swear to God they're doing parades around the ground. And that is my biggest issue with Liverpool. And I said it on Friday. There should be no excuses not to beat this, right? And look, we got beaten. I'm not making excuses for anybody. But and my biggest thing is, if you're 1-0 down, fine. If you react and you go 2-1 up, take the frenzied nature out of it. Hold the ball for 5 minutes. Pass it around them, because they won't chase you. Manchester United will not chase you.
Pass it around.
Keep passing it. Don't even look to score. Just keep passing and building and building and building. And Liverpool didn't. And that's where Liverpool's problem. That's where the problem is for me. And we're going on about game management and stuff like that. I think he makes the changes he possibly has to make because of the players that have been playing, not playing, coming back. But overall, I would say between 55 and 75 minutes in that game, Liverpool had the chances to go 3 and 4-1 up. And he should have taken them. And it wasn't kind of, oh, that was a good chance. These were 4 and 5 on 2s running through the middle of Manchester United. And if you go and do that, then by all means, for the last 15, prick around if you want, because their heads are gone. But we just kept letting them back in, Shawnee. And that's my only thing about it. If you mix that in with some fatigue, I've seen a lot of people saying mental and physical fatigue. If you mix that in, it's not a good mix. It's just not a good mix. And you take your licks, you go, you lose. You're out. They draw Coventry. Man City must be bleeding well odds on for the FA Cup now at this stage, the way that's all fallen. But you have to look at what's coming forward. And my only saving grace out of this, Shawnee, is Liverpool aren't the side that usually when something like this happens to them, they feel sorry for themselves, and you'll see a result of that knocking on.
Oh,
you
actually see them.
They double down and they react really well. Yeah.
Look, the reaction since Arsenal, which for me was a really poor performance. Now, Arsenal, to their credit, were really good that day, but the reaction since Arsenal has been exemplary. We've picked up maximum points across the board, barring the City game, which is fair enough. But we fucking a game where, if I'm being totally honest, I think we should have won that as well. But look, it's never nice losing to them shower of guns. Let's be honest, they're brutal. Like, and that's what makes it even worse is that I was like, the clock was ticking on the game's 87, and I was thinking, these surely can't be that bad that they're going to just let this peter out and let us just prick the bell with the ball out that's gone twice in a minute. And to that credit, he makes a few changes and it changes the game. The two goals that we give away in extra time are just criminal, in my opinion. It's skill. Like, if you lads playing schoolboy football, if you've done it, you'd be absolutely fucking livid. Yeah. Like, yeah. That Darwin Nunez trying to play inside when he can just go down the line. You know, like, that's the frustrating part for me, is that the decision making and execution was off when, had it been an extra 2 or 3%. At the level that we usually are, we're bouncing out of there, going, we're set up now for the semi final against Coventry, and the quad is still on, which is something that I never really fucking bought into anyway, because I think it's something that it's a stick that's made over time to eventually beat you with by all the forms of media or other fan bases. It doesn't really fucking matter. Again, still two relatively, one major one to go for, which would make us 20 times league champions, which would be the joint most in England, and then a chance to go, which is sentiment for myself and yourself, Gav, and many other the Irish lads that listen to this, to go and play a European Cup final and win it in Dublin, which would be lovely. And our route to the final there is laid out for us if we can do the job. So will we win every game between now and the end of the season? We probably won't. Most likely we won't. We'll win a high percentage of them. But I'd be just happy enough not to see another fucking performance like that, where there was kind of sections of the game, lads playing like it was beneath them a little bit. And I can't fucking stomach that. It's just not something I attribute to a Jurgen Klopp team. Although it is a characteristic that does creep in every now and again, where a lad's just coining, oh, look, this has been eating me, and we're floating around, we're just popping the ball around here. And we got our noses bloodied yesterday. It wasn't a knockout blow, although we're out of fucking FA Cup. We have a chance to put it right in a few weeks, and nobody will give an absolute bollocks. And if we turn up and apply ourselves to 100%, I mean it, we will tear them cunts apart. Because they are less than bang average. And a lot of the fans know it. I'm coaching a team of my own, Gav, and a few of the old lads up there managing the United fans. And look, it's part of it. I kind of enjoy it.
You got it this morning, did you?
I got a bit of it. I was just saying, what a trophy for Manchester United. And they were all laughing. I was going, look, if you fancy another day out, mate, get absolutely pummeled by City, you're probably handing them another treble again. I go, so enjoy it. And then it kind of flipped for them real quick. Oh, that was a really good game, though, wasn't it? There was loads of goals in it, yeah, but I'm not sure the quality was there. If you want a real good game, look back to last Sunday. That's kind of, you know what I mean? And they know themselves. Look, they're not all morons. I know a few United fans who would consider like proper football men. And I like going,
look, I spoke to one today, yeah. And there's not only one of them out there, I mean. Well,
they were mad. They had the kids and the boys and all out on the pitch after the game. I was bleeding mad. Yeah, it makes me laugh, but I just hope that when our players went back to the dressing room yesterday, it was kind of like, well, do you know what? There's another 8 weeks left in the season or however long this is. We won't fucking. We'll do our utmost to make sure we don't feel like this again.
Yeah,
I think it should light a rocket, and then hopefully their personnel looks a little bit different.
Just a little update on that. Klopp. Bob says Klopp says Jones back next week, and Trent shot it with a chance the week after. So that would mean that they would have a chance for Brighton.
Gav, put it this way. Jota's on that pitch yesterday. Forget about it. Because he's just...
If Jota's anywhere near that 5-on-2, he's just going, give me the fucking ball. I'm just going to go down and score.
I'll give credit to United. The four goals well executed. There's still a lot to do there. It's a decent finish. And again, like, I won't be totally fucking biased. Like, every time I watch them, that Kobbie Mainoo kid has fucking really, really impressed.
Yeah, he's a really good player.
Well, he's a huge, huge talent.
Yeah.
He's actually a joy to watch, to be fair. But that's about all I give the cunts, because they were on with that tragedy chant and the whole rest. But that's just framing. It is what it is. That can't be helped.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, that was all happening yesterday. And again, you're just told to, you know, look, that happens, which is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And I wouldn't mind. I had this last week with Phil, and Phil was saying to me, like, you know, it just happens, Gav. Like, what are we meant to do? And I was like, you need to fucking keep pointing it out. And it's got to the point where I think the Premier League or the FA have made a statement on it. The Football Association, not the Premier League, wasn't the Premier
do
League.
Do you know what the sad thing is for me? My favourite thing to say now is that tribalism makes gobshites out of us all, but tribalism makes football makes pricks out of people who I know aren't pricks. I know people who, when they're watching football, they act like fucking idiots, and I'm thinking to myself, you're not really like that. Why are you doing that for, like, this conglomerate of players who don't even know you exist? And the camera was panning to little youngfellas and all in the crowd yesterday, and I'm like, they're all inheriting this mentality that it's just wrong to begin with. And don't get me, look, I'm sure it happens at Anfield where there's lads singing about the Munich air disaster. We've seen it a couple of weeks ago at the Etihad, there was lads doing it as well. United are not without that fucking historical bleeding tragedies. And look, it's not to be mocked. You should never be bringing that sort of show into a football match where you're kind of taunting the loss of a life. And as it was with Liverpool, a total and utter injustice of what happened on the day and then what followed, and the stories that were released. And you'll get young lads, like the shot of the young lad crying yesterday when United getting the winner. He would have been sitting in the stadium in 70,000-80,000 yesterday, and they're all going mortars. And he's a kid. What's that all about? And it's fucking, we've seen it with that other gob show here when he got popped in the bleeding FA Cup final last time with the jersey on his back, like 97, not enough. Like, What possesses these fucking morons?
Because what happens is that they're not educated, and they're not willing to educate themselves. And not only that, any education they're looking for in football is given to them by the previous generation, and the previous generation and generations of people that were around and supporting Manchester United, Jordan, at the time of Hillsborough, 35 odd years ago, are still in that ground. Doing whatever they want and talking about this, that, and the other. Like, and Kev says there, like, this isn't a one way thing. Like, Kev says our fans let themselves down a bit as well with the flare. I think a flare landed in the there was a section in the ground. You know, the word's gone completely.
Disabled section.
Sorry, completely went down my head. But a flare landed in there, and apparently there's a video going around of a lad doing aeroplane gestures from the Liverpool end, and that's not on.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a one way thing. Right, it's not a one-way thing.
I'm at odds to relay. Tribalism does my fucking.
But it's not even tribalism now. It's whataboutry now, because what happens is you point out that a huge section, and some of the media yesterday pointed out a huge section of the Stretford End singing "Mortars" and "The Sun Was Right, Your Mortars," all this sort of stuff, right? And the answers you see on social media is, oh yeah, but you've done this, and I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't make it right. None of it is right.
If your only argument, then nine times out of ten, you're both in the wrong. That's exactly.
And if you're both wrong, neither is right. I don't know what you're fucking arguing each other for. And that's the way it goes on that. Let me see. There was one thing up there. There was one piece. Jeff says 4-0 after 15 minutes against Prague. Klopp should have subbed 5 starters from the United match. He shit the bed this week. I don't think Klopp did. This is a very, very simple way of putting this. I've already said Liverpool's approach to this yesterday, for a certain period of time, was, you know, instead of putting them to bed yesterday, they didn't. They pricked around, right? And you can absolutely throw that at Liverpool, right? But if you look at the subs Klopp made yesterday, right? Regardless of what's happened, if Szoboszlai doesn't play during the week at 90, he's not playing 60 there yesterday. Not a fucking hope, right? If Salah doesn't play, well, he's meant to play about 70 the other night, but he ended up playing the 90 because of an injury to Bobby Clark. If he doesn't play on Thursday, he doesn't play there yesterday, you probably get a half an hour out of him, right? So you would have been ended up, even if you come on at half time, you're still going to have to play him for 75 minutes because of the extra time. The biggest issue here yesterday wasn't Jurgen Klopp. The biggest issue yesterday was, I think the subs he makes made sense. Players are looking to protect because of the limited amount of minutes. Players are looking to protect because of a lot of minutes. Hey, whatever it might be. On the pitch yesterday, Liverpool aren't great for the first 20. I would say the first 20-ish, right? Mm. Then they come back into it and they've loads of the ball, right? Couple of good chances. Score. Then score again. Into the second half. They're really good in the second half. And they have the chances where United are desperate to put this to 3 or 4-1. Klopp can't come onto the pitch and make that happen. He doesn't fucking play with the club. He manages it. And he's standing on the sideline going, why aren't we putting this in the net? Like, genuinely, after one or two chances yesterday, I seen someone in their Telegram group going, right, enough messing. Just put the fucking ball in the net. Right? And it was actually, Liverpool were getting through that easy and playing 3-0 because United are poor. Yeah. It was a case of, just put the ball in the net. Make it 3-1 and then see what way they react. Do they start kicking you? Does, like, someone said there, I left this up because Kevin Sullivan said, do you think Bruno should have been sent off? No, in my opinion. I think it's a ball that's breaking. He goes to block it. I know it's Bruno, and I know you want to go, like, he's a little arsehole, and he is. But I'm fuming if a Liverpool player flies out, throws himself in front of a ball like that to try to block it and gets a second yellow. Fuming, right? And Klopp is trying to react to, these are pricking about here. And I'm trying to fucking get players on and off the pitch because, you know, I'm trying to protect the lead or I'm trying to protect the player. And then we go into extra time. Then I have to make a couple more. Like the last two goals, you say, Nunes makes a mistake, right? Harvey Elliott, when that ball comes up in that corner, Harvey Elliott needs to take a much more positive touch. It reminded me of Seamus Coleman at Goodison Park a couple of years ago where he takes a touch but hesitates at the same time, gets caught. I've seen people saying Bradley should have taken the red. By the time Bradley gets to your man, he's in the fucking box. So if he fails him, it's a penalty anyway. So that's garbage. What the thing about this yesterday is, and look, I'm gonna caveat it all with, these now owe us nothing. Because if you honestly, and I'm the most positive of us all, right? I'm the most not positive is probably the word. I'm away with the fairies at the start of the season. I want to win everything. The Olympics, Mosny's community games. I want to win everything, right?
But
what I'm saying is they don't owe us anything, because when the season started, I'm telling you now, if I turned around to you and went, listen, 10 games to go in the league, you're joint top, you're in the quarterfinal of Europa League, you've won the League Cup, but you go out of the FA Cup, I'm not even going to tell you who it's against, you would absolutely snap your hand off. And forget all this stuff about Prague and this and that. And the other. He knows what he's managing. But that wasn't the case of, you took that fella off and he was playing brilliant, and they were literally passing up chance after chance in a 20-minute period there yesterday, where if they take them, we're sitting here going, we weren't great, but we beat them fucking 4-1. And going back to the United fan I was speaking to today, I said to him, listen, it's a fucking great win for you. I said, because you don't have an awful lot to cheer about. He said, when you went 2-1 up and you start running through our midfield, like our midfield was all fucking having a smoke somewhere. He said, I genuinely thought this was going to be 4-5 or 6-1. He said, the fact that you just stopped trying to put the ball in the net, right? Literally stopped trying to put the ball in the net, gave us a rise, and we managed to scrap a goal and get it back. He said, and then it just turned into mayhem. That's like, the truth of it.
The last 5 minutes, Harry Maguire's playing centre forward.
Yeah.
Like that's the situation. And they nick one. That's what they did. The United have had history doing that when they were really good. It's not going to stop. It was always going to be the case. We should have put that game to bed. It goes back to the thing Gav said at the very, very start. And Van Dijk's Instagram post kind of compiled the whole thing with me. He just said, look, nobody but ourselves to blame there. Go away with the international breaks and come back and give it everything we have. And that's what we'll do. Like, there's no need for... There's no point in being hypercritical and hyper-analysing that game yesterday. Because from a football standpoint, and I'm sure any rational United fan will admit, they didn't have an awful lot for us in terms of quality. Like Gav said, we led into it and allowed it to become a frenzy when we should have just said, yeah, we're in toward gear here, just going to bash another 2-1 here, and then yous can do what yous like.
If you take one of them on 55, 60 minutes, their heads go. Their heads go, and what happens is they don't even push forward with some sort of organisation. They try push forward in a mad way, and Liverpool just go bang, 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 there's a fork, now fuck off.
And you know what, I think it was even encapsulated by the corner we get on 120, where you can just tell, like, Van Dijk's probably thinking, oh, I'll go and win this.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and look, and honestly, when he probably could have just said, you know what, I'm staying, fuck it, we'll do penalties here because we've been on the bounds of our ass for the majority of extra time. Because they were literally just bomb, ball over the top, trying to get in behind everything. And that's the way United play, because Ten Hag is not, he's not a great manager, if I'm being honest. And it's not a great squad of players. It's the poorest squad of United players for a long time, despite the money spent. It just is. And United fans will tell you the same. They're up and down. Like, They're a poor, like, the thing, a lot of the narrative from their side going into the game was, oh, we are going to hop off us. It's just, it's a cup toy. The magic of the cup, they call it, a bit of joint killing they done yesterday. Fair play to them. I'll watch with, hopefully, defeat up at me bollocks off when they have to go to a final against City. Because I'll enjoy that. Because there'd be a few voice notes getting sent back into groups and all that was sent on yesterday. You know yourself.
Don't get me wrong. If I'm a United fan yesterday, I'm saying to myself, I'm because I'd be gone beyond the point of, listen, we're fucking shy. I can't really open my mouth here, because if I do, it's all going to come back to me. They're gone beyond that point. They're gone beyond that. If they thought they were half decent, they'd say, I can say what I kind of want here. Oh, I'm not too sure. But they're gone beyond that. They're genuinely gone. I actually know lads that are Man United fans, and they love having a go at me. And they're nice lads, you know, mates. And they love having a go at me. I didn't hear one of them yesterday. And I mean that.
I didn't get all this shite
off them, because I'd say part of them are kind of going, we should have been rinsed there. And part of them are saying, we're having a go here. We could get beaten by Coventry. And if we get Boy and get Man City in the final, we could be absolutely obliterated. And these boys could go on and win a league in European trophy. John Halton says, and he said this earlier, but I'm bringing it up now. He says, following Liverpool since the days of Paisley, and one thing has always been, we have no divine right to win everything, right? The reaction of some supporters online has been disgusting and disgraceful. John, I agree with you, but what I will, the only bit of advice I give to you is, if it's Twitter, right, like, don't even bother. Just hit the block button and move on. Just the way to approach all these things is find people that are either Liverpool, non-Liverpool fans are good and they talk about football and they're able to talk about other stuff as well. Have a bit of crack. If they're not able to hold a conversation without, you know, oh, but you done this or oh, but what about this? Forget about them. There's no point, right? I will say though, I seen one thing yesterday. It was posted into our Telegram this morning. It was a screenshot of Cody Gakpo's Instagram, right? Now, I'm going to contradict myself a bit here by going, have you seen these comments are mad? Cody Gakpo should be ignoring them, and I should be kind of ignoring because they're idiots, right? But honest to Jesus, like, why have we got to this where, even when you're winning, there has to be a scapegoat? And why isn't it everyone's first reaction to go, Cody Gakpo's going through a bit of a hard time here? We should all be just going, listen, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? We're Liverpool fans, and not to get too romantic or fucking cheesy about it, but we're Liverpool fans. You're a Liverpool player. I think he's been excellent since he signed for us, right?
Yeah, he's been good.
Over the last couple of months, it's chopped and changed a little bit. And if you look at the starts and subs and stuff like that, it hasn't been a mad real run in the team. But he's having a hard time. My first reaction to Cody Gakpo was, the other night when he scored two, I was fucking thrilled he got two. I was like, brilliant, it might just help him on. But yeah, he's probably finding it a bit difficult with the pace of the game or where he is or what we're trying to do or whatever. And that happens. He's still a young guy playing football. And I can't understand how any Liverpool fan out there decides that, fuck this, this is all on Cody Gakpo, and he's a Liverpool player who will fucking cheer next week, by the way. If he scores the winning goal at Old Trafford in 3 weeks' time, you'd be fucking, Cody, me man, I loved Cody, I always love Cody, because there's loads of cunts out there like that, that literally hammer players, and as soon as he scored a goal, they're the best thing since sliced bread, right?
Yeah, or else you'd be hammering them and then...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, it just completely changed.
When it's all good, saying nothing, then they're just waiting in for the next time to fucking go back in. And again, it'll be the same one to going mad next year in the summer, where it's to sign all these players that they've never watched playing. It's symptom of the... Yeah, it's very disheartening, though, to see the fucking... I'm not on Twitter anymore, and I'm not on Instagram, so I don't really... I just see what's
posted. I miss you on Instagram, though. I mean to talk to you about that. I miss you on Instagram. Yeah.
You miss me?
Yeah, I think your stuff on Instagram is good. I think you should come back.
I might get on petition.org. To be honest with you, I'm way better off. I like Reddit, because to be honest with you, like the Liverpool community in Reddit, as soon as any bollocks goes into it, you just get the moderators going, get rid of that. That's bullshit. That's, you're a gimp. People are just commenting that you're a sap. That'll be it. You won't see it again. And Gakpo's getting lashed out of it. And Carragher as well, pulling in on him. He's a wanker, I think. I can't stand him. He's a fucking dickhead.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Listen.
You're allowed to criticise and all, but...
Of course. But as a Liverpool fan, I can honestly sit here and say, Cody Gakpo hasn't been really good for Liverpool for the last couple of months. Right? I can honestly say that. And that's my honest opinion. I think there's mitigating circumstances to it. And that can kind of go in his defence, right? And there's other times where I go, Cody, you're not moving in behind enough, you're not coming short, bits and pieces, right? But my overriding reaction is, when I sit down to watch Cody Gakpo play at Liverpool, all I want him to do is score a goal or do something good. I don't want to sit there, and there is people out there like this, that just decide, Cody Gakpo's shite, no matter what he does, he's fucking shite, and I'm going to revel in the fact that I can have a go of Cody Gakpo. Is it not easier to send a message to Cody Gakpo after that game as a Liverpool fan going, keep your head up, don't worry, keep going. That's much better.
In the long run,
the psyche there would be, if you keep encouraging this fella, he'll get back to form. If you think your comment is going to affect him, why are you doing it negatively?
I've jumped on Charles to say, I don't see it with Curtis Jones. I don't really see what Harvey Elliott. I'd be selling Joe Gomez. I went as far, and look, I think we had a chat on a podcast last summer, and I turned around and there was talk of Jota and Newcastle, and I was saying, yeah, I'd sell him. And if I was a fucking idiot, I'd be dying on them hills and then reveling in, oh, Jota's injured again, we may as well fucking get rid of him, you can't rely on him, or this, that, and the other, or quarter chance, I'm just not going to stick him behind him because this, that, and the other. When he's been fucking excellent this year, you can't fault him. You have to put your hand up and say, you know what, there you go, that's why Klopp's paid millions, and the lads around them, Vito Matos is pushing these lads on to fucking do what I'm saying. Oh, we're short the centre half. Klopp turns around, goes, no, we have Kwanzaa there here, who I think's top class, and I don't think we could spend 40-50 million on another fella who come in and do the same job as him. And then you go, all right, I don't agree with you, Klopp. And then you get to March and you're like, yeah, Jarrell Kwanzaa starting away at Old Trafford doesn't bother me. Why? Because he's fucking brilliant. You know, like, sometimes you just have to put your hands up and say, yeah, I was fucking wrong. And I'm glad to be wrong. And what I'll do is now, I'll support this player instead of going, I was wrong. But I'll wait until I'm right again to reinforce me opinion that I initially made. Like, you can change your opinion. Your opinion can be changed by a level of performance. Harvey Elliott has been fucking excellent for Liverpool this year whenever he's been called upon. Yeah, he's made a few mistakes. I was livid with Darwin Nunez in the chat yesterday when he fucking, in their WhatsApp group, when he made the mistake. But I would have been livid with Mo Salah if he did the same thing. I would have been livid with fucking, you don't have to attribute your opinion to one player. It doesn't have to stick forever. Like, for example, I would have been someone who picked up for Jordan Henderson in his time throughout his Liverpool career. And I think he's a fucking idiot with the way he's acted in the last 6 months, six to eight months. That's so, the way it goes. You don't have to pick hills to die on. You can change your fucking opinion.
Well, Jeff says here, it's football. Everyone has different opinions and sees the game different. 100% agree with you. 100%
totally.
Agree with you. I've supported totally. Liverpool since the 80s. Same. For me, Elliot and Gakpo are not good enough to be starters for, I presume it's this Liverpool side. He kind of tails off there. He probably hit the send button before he finished. But let me just on this, Jeff, right? I haven't heard a fucking peep out of anyone about Harvey Elliott, right? For I don't know how long, right? Genuinely, haven't heard a peep out of anyone. Like, literally, he's doing 90, 90, 120, 90, 70 minutes. He's getting goals. He's getting assists. He gets another one yesterday, right? He makes a mistake at the end. Because when that ball drops out, people are going, why are they only one at the back? United had nobody forward. Like, nobody. The ball drops and it just, they get a run on us, right? Elliot, when he takes that touch, needs to be more decisive on the ball. Either come inside with it to take it away from Diallo, or turn and play it back to your goalkeeper, or Bradley. But he doesn't. He hesitates, it gets nicked off him, and we're in trouble. But I haven't heard a fucking peep out of people about Harvey Elliot, and I don't know how long. And now he makes a mistake. And all of a sudden, not good enough to play for us. Cody Gakpo's going through a bad period at Liverpool. A bad period, right? But listen, we've all been here. Because I remember going back to 18-19. Mo Salah went 8 games without scoring for Liverpool. Right? And he breaks his duck away at Southampton. Do you remember when we went 3-1? He goes on a run and he doesn't pass it for me. And he bailed it in the corner. Henderson gets the late one. Southampton went 1-0 up early in the game. I think Shane Long might have scored with him. And Naby Keita gets ahead of us that night. But I can remember that time people going, Salah hasn't scored in 7 games. Like, what are we going to do with this fella? Like, you know, but like, why do we do this? Like, I can genuinely sit with you, have a point and go, I fully agree with you, Cody Gakpo's not on form. But I'm not having the Elliot stuff because, like, Jeff, if you were in here every night of the week going, listen, I'm worried about Elliot. He's running off a lot, but I still don't see her in him. But we don't. We all just don't say anything until someone makes a mistake. And then all of a sudden, like, genuinely, he's just not good enough to start with Liverpool. Didn't even start yesterday. So, you know, he came on as a sub. He's been excellent as a sub. I think he's growing as a starter for Liverpool. But, like, honestly, like, just take, you have to take the defeat. I know people are upset. I was livid after the game yesterday. I'm not livid on a single player. I wasn't livid on, you know, him. I was livid at the fact that we had them exactly where we wanted them. They gave everything they had in the first 20. We had them where we wanted them. We could have put them away and we could have had a nice little 25 minutes having a nice sing-song at Old Trafford and all fucked off and said, right, who's next? Oh, international break. And we all bore the tits off each other for 2 weeks and then come back and start this all again. That's where I am, right? Do you know what I mean? And I understand people might not be sure of a player, might not be this, might not be that, but don't say nothing for weeks and weeks and weeks and then decide that I'm just going to throw this out here because he made a mistake yesterday. Like, and that's not me downplaying your opinion, like, or anybody's opinion. But honestly, I see every single message that comes in here every night I'm on here. And most of them I'm not on because I'll be watching in the background. And I haven't seen a thing on Elliot other than good stuff for the last, I would say, well, easily since Christmas, easily. So, I'm at them losing loads of comments here now. I haven't seen them. I'll have to go read them back because I'm at them. I'll make a lean lawyer of myself. But look, it's a defeat. But Shawnee, before we go, the reaction. I've said it earlier. Liverpool are quite good at reacting. You know, you have a couple of lads that won't go away on international break, but it's not like they won't be thinking about it while they're on international break. You know, it's, you know, I want to get back in. I want to get to Brighton, but are you confident enough Liverpool just react really well to this?
Yeah, well, it's not about am I confident. What you should do in this situation is look at how we've reacted throughout the season. When I think you can count on one hand how many games we've lost this year. And like, again, the context in the game that we lost, Arsenal, I put my hand down and say the only side who have comprehensively beaten us. Like, we went to the Emirates and they were a far better yeah. side.
But we still handed them the game with a couple of mistakes, yeah. In fairness. Right? No, but look, they were the better side, 100%.
Yeah. They were. The Spurs away is fucking notorious at this stage. Like, you give away a goal in the last kick of the game when you've played the majority of the game with 9 men and you've had a goal that was chalked off for absolutely no reason other than refs and competence. To lose away relative dead rubber and then you get beaten the other day, and it's, if we were getting beaten in these games and you couldn't have an explanation as to why they were happening, that would, for me, would be a red flag. Liverpool, what they've done this year is they've responded really, really well in the face of any defeat that we've had. We've been brilliant since Arsenal away. And you need to, don't forget the squad situation which we've just managed. We've come across James, Bobby Clark, Conor Bradley instantly look like they've got massive Liverpool futures ahead of them now in the wake of a couple of injuries in the squad. The emergence of Jadon Dance is another one. And while going into an international break, we are looking at the back end. And you said there that Klopp said about Jota is expected to be back training soon. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he reckons. Let me see. I'll find that comment again for you.
But anyway, while you pull her up.
Sorry, I have it. Klopp says Jones back next week and Trent. Jota with a chance the week after. Nah, he's not mentioned Alisson.
So that's you. Look, that's you. Look, and to be honest with you, he's not mentioned Alisson, but I've no issue with Kelleher, to be honest with you. Kelleher's been fine, but with those three players coming back, that's huge. That's huge. And the thing for me is, we play Brighton and Anfield with a chance to go back top of the league. We can hopefully come back, do our job, and then you have a Thursday night game then against Sheffield United.
Our next five is Brighton at home, Sheffield United at home, United away, Atalanta at home, Palace at home.
Yeah, so look, fucking a real opportunity to just bang down America and say, there's not many games left. I think after that game, we're into single figure games left, Gavin Murray. Because you can play a maximum of 5 games in the Europa League, and we've 10 league games left. And after them 5 games, they're saying, right, there's 10 games left in the whole season.
Yeah.
Win them all. We've won our treble. Not their treble. We've won our treble. Like, and it's completely within our grasp. Because what I think will stand to us as well, I'm trying to be positive here and kind of believe and pump people back up a little bit. I think what will stand to us is Szoboszlai, Salah, Jones now at this stage, Trent, Alisson when he comes back. Like, these, and Robertson as well, who had a bit of an injury. I don't think we're at the risk of burnout. Lads have missed weeks here and there. When you're injured, you're resting as well at the same time. But seeing now, Mo was poor yesterday, so I was like, but they'll get back up to speed. And then it's just about finding the form right at the time of the run-in. You don't want to be running out of gas. And I just think we'll have enough players coming back that they will all feel, right, Jota, Trent and Jones got to be fucking chomping at the bit to get back in. Because, like, they're playing for their positions. Like, that, yeah. That's the fucking... Yeah. That's the reality of it. Like, they're playing for their position.
But that's what you
Trent's
want.
Trent's going to be gone. Yeah, Trent's going to be gone. Like, he's not just going to fucking throw me in here instead of Bradley.
Well, I promise you, if Liverpool are 5-2 in any of the next 5 games, 5-2, that ball's going in the net. I fucking promise you that.
Yeah, and, it's a big killer. Like, so just, again, it's sure you'll have to stew over it. I was going to say, hopefully Gab throws together a few yokes during the week where we can have a fucking bit of a, but, like, I'm actually,
we can have a bit of a, need a few like, yokes, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to have a draft or a quiz or something, to have a bit of a buzz, because it's sure going into an international break on the fucking on the yoke. Put it this way, imagine that had been a Premier League game yesterday. You'd be fucking sick to your stomach because you'd be, everything would be racing through your head. Look, we're out of cup. We're fucking, we've other things to do. Our season is far from over. There's a fucking chance to make history. We're giving Jürgen a big send off. That'll be all in these players' heads. Don't lose the head. Be a little bit rational. It's hard when you're listening to a load of fucking shite bag, but look, every dog has its day. Let them have it. Take your licks. Move on. International break. John O'Shea's green and white army ready to fly. So just, it's grand, Gav. It's going to be grand.
I'm absolutely fine. You don't need to convince me. Absolutely don't need to convince me. I think my whole take, and genuinely, before we finish, my whole takeaway on that game yesterday was Liverpool just literally decided not to finish that game off and then reap the rewards. Well, rewards is probably not the right word, but reap what he sowed. And United aren't a good side, but like, forget it, United for a minute. If you don't put your chances away, and a big crowd at home gets up and they're getting corners and it's intense, and then you're trying to make subs to keep fellas, you know, fresh and fit. All that thrown into the mix, like, I keep going back to it. You put one of them away, you can make the subs and there won't be a fucking issue because their heads will go. Yeah.
Look, we paid, it's one of them. Look, fuck it. Look.
Yeah. Matt wants a draft idea. 11 of the most overpriced players ever. Taking into account inflation and allowing for only factoring a certain period of a career, not the whole thing. Pogba United. Ignore Juve. Ignore his time of Juve. Yeah, we will be doing. So, Shawnee won't be doing this. He genuinely.
No, I will.
Let me tell you what happens. Shawnee just pretends his phone's broke for 2 weeks while the international break's on, because he just doesn't want to talk to me. He blocks my number, he does, during the international break. He's like, I'm not talking to that wanker. He wants me to pick the 10 best fucking ginger fellas that's ever played with Liverpool. Fuck off, annoying me. But no, we will be doing that stuff. I'm going to sit down in the morning and we're going to plan it out where we're going to do as many shows as we can during the international break. And we'll fill it with drafts and quizzes and your favourite players, your favourite goals, whatever you want. And we'll do all that. Before I forget though, the fundraiser, link is in the description. We've passed 2,000 on the GoFundMe, but it's up around 2,500 because of offline stuff. So we're on 25% of the way, which is all right, I'm happy with that. Link is in the description if you want to donate. As I always say, if everyone watching and everyone that downloads gives a euro. If you watch 5 times a week and or you download 5 times a week, give us a fiver at the end of the week. If everyone does that, we piss it. But the link is in the description. 2 really, really good charities. And, Phil's one is in there as well. His 5 things he's doing for the Laurel Inn Hospice. If you want to give him a few quid, you can as well. Look, we lost the game.
Do you know what I'm going to do, Gav?
I'm going to do 5 grand for that charity. No, okay.
Yeah, well, I might actually equate to that. Someone in the chat, however, we need a housekeeper.
Right.
We'll do a shiny swear jar. For every swear I use, I'll put a euro in between now and you can hold me to it.
For one show?
No, from now until the end of the fundraiser.
Oh, Johnny, you'll need a bleeding remortgage of the game.
Well, no, because I need it. I've an awful Jesus potty mouth. I mean, now we need to decide about what's going to be called. Because I can say shy. I should be allowed to say shy.
Right. Well, we'll do up a list, will we?
Okay.
Do you know what I'll do? The next show you're on, I will bring the list to you. I will give you 10 words you're allowed to say, but anything after that, forget about it.
It's a Euro.
And what we do is we get somebody on the case that watches every night and they just count, bum, bum, bum. At the end of the night, Shawnee, 23 quid. Or Shawnee, 8 quid. The last time it was fucking 70 something. You see, you'll have to be careful where you come on, because if we come on and start talking about, like, have I done a show on the PGMOL, FSGO?
Yeah, well, come here, this is what it's all about.
Right, so I need to lure you in to shows and then just let the thing run. That's how I need to maximize.
I'll be like Father Jack Hackett.
Mike McCarthy says a euro for every wank pheasant heard. To be honest with you, wank pheasant doesn't come out very often, but if it does, I'm thinking 2 or 3 quid per wank pheasant. That's what we could do.
That's one for the bingo card. We might do a Shawnee bingo card, and if I hear that, I have to do a certain amount.
Shoyhawk is definitely in there. You're not getting away with Shoyhawk. But what I might do is I might do up a price list, right? So the certain ones free, certain ones are €1, certain ones are €2, and Wang Pheasant's in there are a fiver.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Just don't mention Fontaine's DC.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, Jesus, remember them? He went rasher over there. It was fucking brilliant. And then the next day I was like, what do you think of them, Sean? He was like, don't even start me on them. But anyway, that has been the show for tonight. We've tried to calm people down. We've tried to give them a positive outlook. But look, you lose them. It was their own doing. You know, I think, actually, I'd be more annoyed if we went out there and played really well and lost to them. There's actually a bit of a reason over this. And that's kind of the one thing that's really fucking annoyed me yesterday, but really kind of went today where I went, yeah, we just, you know what I mean? That can't happen again. And I'm confident Liverpool won't let it happen again.
Gav, I'm going to give you a first €2 of the challenge. And I'll finish on this. And this Gary Neville is a fucking wanker.
Right. Okay.
So there's €2.
Write that down. Write down the book.
I can already talk that one. Though, so I'll just... I'll get that in first. I just had to say that before that else.
Ashley reckons you'll be out inventing new swear words to get around the world. The Shakespeare of courses. So if you want to put yourself forward as the bingo caller, i.e. count Shawnee's swears from now to the end of the season, let us know. It's a tough gig. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a tough gig. And we go live now to the adjudicator. The fucker has 7 screens. Fucking all stuff going on.
I've got to get lifted, haven't
I? Yeah, 100%. You're not going on holiday this year. That's all I'm going to say. You won't be done anymore.
Shawnee swear jar starts tonight. I'm already down to you.
2 quid. But it was worth it for the Neville fella. Do you know what? I'll go half on that 2 quid because I agree with you. So there we go. Right. That has been the show for tonight. Don't forget to hit the like button. Subscribe if you haven't already. If you want to become a member for €4 a month, please do. I'll be back at 10 a.m. in the morning talking some football, talking some nonsense. And by tomorrow morning, I should have a list of the shows we're going to try to do between now and the end of the international break. Thanks a million to Shawnee. Thanks a million to everyone in the chat. It's been an absolute pleasure. Don't be worrying about the Reds. They'll be absolutely grand. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.